Our special guests today are Paul Valerio, who is Tony's cousin and business partner. Paul also wrote the lyrics and the music for the opening song. And we have Frank Chiffo, Tony's twin brother, who we've heard so much about during the course of this show, and Carol Rubano, who is a counselor at Living Waters and who has been on the show so many times. I don't know, many of you have had so many thoughts and special memories of Tony and John, and some of your thoughts maybe you'd like to share with the audience, with the listeners today.
I would just like to say that I consider this program a celebration of what my brother, Dr. Tony, and Dr. John tried to accomplish in the past 5 years. They tried very hard to bring Jesus into the lives of many people, and I'm sure they did. I know that one of their goals was to bring one person to Jesus a week, and I'm sure they accomplished this many times fold.
I think the radio show, which unfortunately this is the last one, I think it was something really special and something unique. It was one of Tony and John's greatest accomplishments. There was something magical about the show. I always compared John and Tony to the Bob and Ray of religious radio. If anybody over 50 years old, I'm sure you must have known a very famous Bob and Ray radio show that was on for many years. But the show inspired, you know. I'm one of those people that couldn't get it on the radio, so Tony gave me a disc every Monday, and I listened to it very closely. It really, you know, it was something miraculous, marvelous about two gentlemen in their eighth decade getting on and saying we're just two kids in love with Jesus from Brooklyn and Queens. And it brought up a side of the Catholic Church, which many Catholics aren't even aware of, actually. You know, for people really involved in it, they know. But for most people, between the sacraments, all they really get involved in the Catholic Church is Sunday Mass, hopefully at least. But there was so much more going on in all these shows. People with ministries, and Tony and John had prayer groups on all the time. It was amazing to me the amount of activity going on in the Catholic Church that most everyday Catholics were not really aware of, and that's something that's going to be missed. I have a copy of every CD of every show they ever did, and I intend to keep listening to them for years to come. I hope many of you out there do also.
Very good, Paul. Joan, you asked us to share some precious moments.
Yeah.
Which one could I pick from, my God?
I know, there are so many.
The one that stands out most to me, just a short reflection. When Jesus said, I've come to serve, not to be served, and that's exactly who Anthony was.
That's right.
My dear, dear friend. And just moments before the show, you said, repeating Anthony, Al, you'll always, I want you to sing at my funeral, and I would say, get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that talk.
I know.
But he would always insist on saying that. That was just amazing.
And you would say, you're going to sing it.
You're going to sing it
and
mine,
say, oh, no.
So it was always a back and forth, but just there was so much love there. And his twin brother, Frank, who's sitting across from me right now, which is an awesome experience just looking at him. We feel Anthony's presence is so profound right at this table. And he said, Al, it was 19 years ago when you first met all of us that I sang at Frank's wife's funeral. 19 years ago. But beyond that, the very first time that I had a real conversation with Tony was we were at a Sodality meeting. It was a Saturday morning at St. Catherine of Siena in Franklin Square. And at the end of it, you know, Anthony came up to me and he said, wow, you know, I'm really impressed with what you're saying, what you're singing. So he says, oh, thank you. And I really did not know Anthony. And he said to me, Al, I want you to know if there's ever anything I could do for you, I really mean that. And I said, oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. And I felt so touched and so honored, you know, like that. He's a total stranger coming up to me and he's saying this, but I felt the sincerity of his words so profoundly that it's even difficult for me to articulate to the degree I felt that. And I felt I was so special. I must have done something to touch this guy's heart. But then as I got to know Anthony, I realized that I wasn't so special at all. Everyone he met was special. Because that's who Anthony was. You know, he couldn't do enough for anybody.
You're right.
The eulogies. That's, I mean, right. at the wake and at the mass. I mean, your children saying the presentations that his three children made were just absolutely phenomenal. You'd want the whole world to hear these things, and this is what is pleasing to God. You know, like, I did not come to be served; I've come to serve, and that's who precisely Anthony was, and I really felt very honored that he would say, I was the best singer.
He did.
No, just kidding. And for those of you who know me, you know I know nothing about music. I don't read, write music, and I don't even know the key I sing in. So God uses the least of his servants to tell you the truth. So what a blessing and a gift it is, and his legacy, and John, Dr. John Palmer as well. I can't call Anthony doctor, you know, because he's like so much
close.
A personal friend.
So close.
Yes. I call Aunt Antonio. Yeah, yeah. All these little love words for him.
Antonio was his name.
Antonio, yeah. Hey, Antonio. Yeah. And every time you call him, he'd call you back in 2 minutes.
2 minutes, right.
Not beyond 2 minutes. That's who he was. Our dear friend. Yeah. Love him. Okay. I mean, we have a bag full of
forever.
Memories.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We have so much to say. It's
I've never been on this program, but he's asked me to come many times, and I always felt I really didn't have much to offer to come. And it's ironic that I'm here today.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very amazing.
And maybe this is the key time that he really wanted you and God wanted you here, too. Because whenever anybody came in here this morning, they were blown away seeing you sit at the table.
That's right.
Dear God.
My one memory of it is that I always used to text him after or
the
doing
show.
Every show, and I used to give him my little critique, and at the end of every text he would say to me, how'd I do? And my
he'd say, the show was good, but how did I do?
Oh, but
my blanket answer was, brah,
yes.
You were your usual great self.
That's right.
And brah,
all the time.
You,
all the time.
Your usual great self.
Yeah.
They didn't always get along so well, because this is Paul Valero speaking. I'm cousin to Frank and Tony. And of course, we grew up together. We started out when we were 2 weeks old, I guess, with our mother's wheeling us down the street.
That's right.
The carriages. As we got a little older in our teens, Frank and Tony, as you know, most brothers will, had their share of arguments. Sometimes it even turned into fistfights, and I was the one usually trying to break it up. I remember
and I was
one
lost.
I remember one time in particular, I lost. I got in between the two of you, and I got one punch in the right cheek, one punch in the left cheek. I stopped the fight, but you guys almost stopped me at the same time.
That's something I never heard about.
You never heard about that?
No.
We were young.
Yeah.
I got to say, too, Tony, you know, aside from being my cousin, as Joan mentioned before, he was my business partner for 53 years. Yeah. And I know him as one of the hardest workers I've ever seen in my life. When I first invited him to work for our company, which was called M&V Provision Company, he was working for a bank at the time. I think it was Chemical Bank.
No, Bankers Trust.
Oh, Bankers Trust, yeah, okay. And he was intrigued by the offer, but he had a family to raise. He didn't want to take a chance. He wasn't sure he was going to like it. He wasn't sure he was going to be good at it. So what he did, he kept his day job. He worked from 9 to 5 or whatever it was at the bank, and after that, he would go out for 5 or 6 hours till 10, 11 o'clock at night, visiting stores all over the Brooklyn, Queens city area. And he did such a good job of it that he decided to quit the bank and come work full-time at M&V. And we've been together for 53 years since then. And I got to tell you, he never missed a day. He was never late. He had to be forced to take vacations. He never stopped for breakfast or lunch. I mean, we started sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning, too early to have breakfast at home. I never saw him eat. And I asked him a few times, Tony, when do you eat? He said, I'm a closet eater. I am still looking for that closet till today. I haven't found it.
Maybe it's a little drawer.
Oh, my God. A little drawer.
A little drawer somewhere.
I tell you, he always volunteered for the toughest jobs. And when he left M&V after a long day, he often went to church meetings or spoke before prayer groups.
That's right, yeah.
Or worked for the church. No relaxation time. None at all. And
But that's what made him happy.
That's what made him happy,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
Right? That's what he wanted
to do. He always complained about being exhausted, but he never stopped doing it.
Yeah.
And I have to relate, when John Palmer got sick, which isn't that long ago now, less than a year ago, I guess.
Yes, October he died.
Tony would go, he knew that John liked to receive communion every day. And John was in North Shore Hospital, and Tony lived in Franklin Square.
Yeah.
And every day after work, after putting in an 8 or 10 hour day at M&V, getting up early, he would drive home to Franklin Square, go to the church there, pick up a host, go over to the North Shore Hospital, deliver it to John, and spend an hour or two with him, because John didn't have much family.
Every day for 4 months.
He did. Was it 4 months, Johnny?
4 months.
I know
it was
a long
from June
time.
Until October.
And he was
every
exhausted all the time,
he
but he never stopped doing it.
I know.
That's the way he was, Tony. He'd help anybody in need. And I questioned when Tony passed away and John passed away less than a year ago. I said to myself, why would God want to take two people that are doing so much good in this world? Because the radio show really accomplished a lot of good. And I came to the conclusion that God probably has a special project for them up in heaven. And he decided, as any good manager would, I'm going to take these guys from the minor leagues and bring them to the major leagues.
Yeah,
and I believe that's where they are right now, doing special projects up there.
I'm sure they are.
They will be missed.
Yes.
You know, angels of God right now.
Yeah. Paul, when you mentioned... Oh, Carol, did you want to say something? I just wanted to say this, because it was on the note of the hospital. About 3 years ago when I was at Franklin General, which is in Franklin Square where you guys live, I was at the hospital with my cousin Bob, crazy Irishman. I love him, he's crazy. But at any rate, every day, and that's when we had a very bad winter, it was freezing, ice on the ground, and he would be there every day bringing us Jesus, and I would tell Aunt, don't come, there's so much ice on, God forbid you slip. No, stop it, don't worry, I won't fall. I said, but I don't, you know, it gets freezing outside, you get up 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I mean, they just nonstop.
I know.
So, and I know the time when Dr. John was at the North Shore, and he would be schlepping there every day.
Every day.
I mean, God love him.
And he did that for many people, many
he
people.
He did, I know, but that's weird. I've come to serve, not to
that's
be
right.
served.
Exactly.
How awesome is that? And how many times truly you would say, oh, I love you, you know, what a great person this is. You have to meet this person. We say so many accolades about so many people, but to this degree,
I know.
Anthony B, when I heard all the involvements and accomplishments that he did in so many different sectors, I was, when did he do this?
Yeah.
I know he got up 2 in the morning,
that's
whatever,
right.
But even if you never went to sleep at all, you don't have time to do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he
yeah,
managed.
Right.
He slept very little, actually.
And where do you do, how do you do that? All but through the grace of God.
Through the grace
everything
of God.
And anything
right.
he did. He was a beam of light of God, and that's exactly what transcended from himself to others. And
right.
that's why whenever anybody would speak about Antonio, they would suddenly put a smile on their face because they knew it was always something good.
That's right.
And that's precisely who he was.
That's right.
And you mentioned all his accomplishments, and he had many. He was proud of many, many of his accomplishments. But I think the one accomplishment he was most proud of was his wife Joan and his three wonderful kids.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
I think that was the accomplishment that kept him going through his
praise
whole
God.
Life and brought him to Jesus.
Good
on that,
point.
On that,
thank
on that
you,
same
thank
note
you.
Of accomplishments, just to go down a few of the things he did.
No respect.
Barbara, you're next, okay?
Carol,
I'm sorry.
I am, now I'm really feeling like a woman.
I've been before Barbara's in the last few days. You want to go first? Go ahead. Go ahead,
ladies
Carol.
First, what
ladies first, right.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Carol. You haven't spoken yet.
That's right. Called you Peter right
there. I'm sure you've been called worse names than Barbara.
Yeah, I have, and you, Paul, or Peter. Anyway, I happen to know...
This is exactly what Anthony would want right now.
I happen to know Anthony. John a lot, too. Much more than Tony, although I did get to know Tony, but I first got to know John, Dr. Palmer. And when I met the two of them, I thought of Jesus, Peter coming out of the boat, and Jesus having him walk on water, because that's what these two guys did. They walked on water and kept their eyes on Jesus. They had no idea why they were doing this. They'd often say to me, I don't know why I'm doing this. Jesus wants me to do this. And John often told me the story that someplace along the line, I don't know where it was, but he met Tony at a gathering, a social gathering or a religious gathering or something. And they looked at each other, and John was rather tall, and Tony wasn't that tall. And the two of them looked at each other. He was tall in spirit. They looked at each other and said, I'd like to do a radio show.
Exactly. That's just how it started.
Is that how it started?
Really? Yeah. And the other one looked, so would I.
And I was sitting there saying, what radio show? Where?
And then they had, shall I say, guts to say, and the name of it is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air.
Yeah.
Right. Boy, how can you evangelize more than that?
So how did they get that name?
Oh, they went to a Wendy's or something to eat. Because that's what John
a profound
did.
Place.
Yeah, and that was so inspiring. I think it was John that said, listen up. And Anthony said, yeah, Jesus is on the air. You know. And
see, when you least expect, you never know how God's going to work and use it.
Yeah. And it was wonderful, because when I'd come onto the show, I felt like I was stepping into another world. It was touching part of heaven. They were so their original self. They're really holy men.
That's right.
They were back to who God created them to be. They were free. They were free to say, because their hearts were so pure.
Yes,
so they would.
Exactly.
They didn't have to filter anything, because they didn't even think in that direction.
They never got ready for a show. They just
let it flow. And it was so much fun, because they'd be laughing and bantering with one another. And once in a while, even with them, I'd have to say, hey, I'm here.
That's true.
Hey, I'm here.
I'm going to let Trevor play a little.
Embarrassed, actually.
No, not at all.
They were proud to share their faith.
They were proud, absolutely.
They were proud to say that they really believe this. They really believe this. And I brought the book with me, Matt Kelly's book, because there's four signs of a dynamic Catholic, and they're very much Christian Catholic. These are the four things that Mother Teresa, Francis of Assisi, John Paul II, Teresa of Lisieux, and Ignatius of Loyola had. And Tony Chufo and John Palmer had these same qualities.
They prayed,
they studied, they were generous. Unbelievably generous.
Yeah.
Like you said, they never gave a second thought what they're going to do, what they're not going to do, or anything else. Like you ask, okay, let me see.
Right.
I also was the recipient of much generosity by both John and Tony. Whatever you need, Carol, whatever you need.
Yeah.
Whatever you need. And that was so, you know, you don't find that in this world.
That's
no.
right.
But that's.
They had a unique relationship. They really did.
They were very funny.
I'm sorry, right? They were very funny together.
They were very funny. And I tell you, I didn't know John as well as Tony, obviously, Tony being family. But Tony made it so personal. He always referred to Jesus as his brother.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And no insult there, Frank. He had another brother, though.
You're in good company, Frank. You're in good company.
And he used to talk about...
Look who's the third, though. It's the Holy Spirit, too.
I don't want to see another one of you here right now. I'm really freaked out.
In addition, he used to talk about the Blessed Mother as Jesus's mama.
Yeah,
now, we all know... Blessed Mother is Jesus' mother, but I never heard her refer to her as the mama. He made it so personal for me that I actually felt like I had a personal relationship with Jesus and the Blessed Mother.
And that's the way we keep our faith alive, by having that personal relationship, really knowing who Jesus is. And he is our friend. He is.
Yeah.
You talk to
him
like a friend.
He's honest to God people who lived on earth.
He used to tell me he was his best friend.
That's right.
He used to refer to him as my best friend. That's the way he always...
He kept it secret that he called him brother to you, Frank.
He never said brother in front of me. He didn't want me to know I had another brother.
I think you have have a good comment, though, because the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now we have Jesus. Frank and
Tony. My brother did think he was my father because he was the older
first.
Brother.
That's right.
He pushed himself out first, and he made me live through that cruise.
His baby brother.
Baby brother.
Yeah.
But in the same token, he used to worry about me.
Well, you was baby brother? Who was born sure. first?
He was born 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. He was baby brother.
Yeah, he used to worry about me and try to take care of me and call me, where the hell are you now? You know? Because I traveled a lot.
And I was the older statesman with you guys. I was born 2 weeks before you.
Right. You were our older cousin.
Right.
And we grew up with Paul. And Paul and I and my brother and my other cousin, Demry, who passed also, used to hang out together a lot. We have a lot of good memories.
Yeah, definitely.
We used to play Parcheesi a lot.
Parcheesi. Most people never even heard of it anymore, I guess.
Oh, my goodness.
Years ago.
We became big real estate moguls playing Monopoly.
That's what
not quite up to the level of Trump, thank God. But
we had a good friendship, and I always remember my brother being religious, but having the sense of Jesus. Because as a young children, me and my brother used to walk to mass ourselves every Sunday. My mother and father.
I think that's amazing. They weren't religious, their family.
My mother and father were not.
But they went to Mass every Sunday.
My mother used to give us some change, quarters or nickels to put in the thing.
That's amazing.
We went.
And they didn't go to Catholic school.
No, we went to public school.
They went to public
school. He went to Catholic school.
It was there.
The three of them.
Yeah, we wanted to go to Catholic school, and my mother never went for the Sundays.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you showed her.
We showed her. We became religious anyway.
We're going to get religious anyhow.
And I remember every Monday night we used to go to Novena.
And he went to Novena.
You're doing
for
that
years
when you were very young,
years.
Really?
We did that since we were 10 years old.
You were altar service, did you say?
We studied to be altar boys, but we never really finished it. But we did.
The lap was a little hard.
But that's funny. the last year or so, he was an altar boy.
He was an altar boy the last year.
His last year.
What do you think was the motivation for you and your brother to be so involved with the church?
Except for the priest.
It's just something that was in your genes? Or?
Yeah. I think it was just in us. I think we just felt the presence of God. I think my brother felt it a little more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, at another young age, met this girl who was about 15 or 16, and she was starting to go into the convent to be a nun.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to meet with her maybe every night, and they used to talk about Jesus and talk about being a saint and things like that, and mm-hmm. I think that was the big start of his religious thing. I have no idea what
being
happened
inspired.
To this woman. She did enter the convent, but
how old was she at the time?
At the time, she must have been about 17.
And
we were maybe 12 or 13.
Really?
She used to walk him home at night, and my father said, "Who is this girl walking him home every night?"
It was a sort of
an Italian thing, I guess.
But I think that I really came to realize that my brother was special and was called to Jesus when we went on a trip to Medjugorje.
Amen.
And in Medjugorje, there were many, many, many signs that my brother had and Joan also had that made them two special people. I didn't have any signs, and I felt, well, okay, God didn't give me any signs. So while they were in church, I went to the pool.
That's right.
And that's true.
That's
and then my
true.
Brother and my brother's coming and
he found the one pool in Medjugorje.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is. He found it.
And then my brother said, "Why were you in church?" I said, "I was hot. I went to the pool." But I knew that my brother had a special place in the heart of Jesus. He took many pictures, and the pictures were astronomical. You've seen them.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, a lot of them were crosses in the background. One particular picture that Joan took was of the visionary's home, the front door, and actually in that front door, Mary was very evident
in back of that door.
Yeah. And it was a very religious situation. And this will be my final thing. And the one thing I did was I went there with the intentions of seeing my wife, because she always thought that if she went to Medjugorje, she'd be healed. And he saw her.
Talking about Medjugorje and miracles, I have a story to relate, which maybe most of the people at this table don't know about either, which I consider a miracle that happened between Tony and I through our business. As Joan mentioned at the beginning, Tony and I were partners for 53 years. Well, back in the year 2006, Tony and I were lucky enough to have some property in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, mm-hmm. which many of you may have heard about as a real boom area. In 2006, everybody was building condos. Every little person that owned a one-family house was building condos on it. We were lucky enough to have a pretty nice piece of property, about 20,000 square feet. And we decided to become builders also.
Mm-hmm.
And we got involved in a pretty big project.
I remember.
As a matter of fact, we were building a condo with 40 units, and we managed to get a loan from a big bank, $21 million to build this thing. It was way beyond anything we ever tried or experienced. But at that time, the banks were giving out loans. Everybody was building. Nobody could fail. And for about 2 years, we did terrific until the real estate crash of 2008. We had the place about 90% built, about 90% deposits on different units. And everything went bust at the time. The real estate bubble burst, mm-hmm. and the banks started withdrawing funding, and our bank withdrew funding. Therefore, our contractor couldn't continue. And they studied the situation for about 6 months, and they finally decided they would continue funding. But by that time, the builder had moved out, everybody had moved out, most people took their deposits back. Well, we tried to get another contractor, which was going to cost us another $2 million on top of what it was before. And our bank wouldn't finance that. We tried to get other banks for about a year or so. No success. Finally, the bank pulled the plug on us, and they told us we had to declare the property bankrupt, which we did. And we, at that time, owed the bank $17.5 million. They auctioned the property off for $15 million, left us owing them $2.5 million. So they gave us a year to pay that money back, because it was a construction loan. It wasn't meant to be a long-term loan. We tried for about a year to get a mortgage loan. We couldn't succeed, and we were close to the end of the year. We have one bank that was nibbling the bait, but they really wouldn't say yes or no. And then in the middle of that, right before Thanksgiving in the year 2011, the friend of ours who was trying to help us get a mortgage asked us to borrow a large sum of money from our business just for a weekend. He wanted it on Friday. He was going to pay it back Monday. You remember this, Johnny?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're shaking your head. Okay. We had no reason to distrust this guy. We were leery to do it, but we did do it. And came the Monday when we were supposed to pay it back. He wasn't able to pay it back. And this was Thanksgiving. We're just going into our busy season of Thanksgiving and Christmas, our busiest time of year. And we need a lot of operating capital, which we lent to this guy. Well, we harassed him for a full month and so, and it was pretty obvious he had probably lost the money. We were probably never going to get it back. It was a couple of days before Christmas in 2011 when Tony and I realized what a horrible situation we were in. The bank said if we didn't pay them by the end of the year, on January 1st, they were going to come after us with personal guarantees. They were going to come after our homes, our businesses, you name it. And also, We buy a lot of stuff during that season, a lot of food products that we have to pay back in January, and the guy that borrowed the money wasn't paying us back. We were kind of desperate right before that Christmas holiday, and Tony and I decided to invoke Jesus' promise to us in Matthew, verse 18, paragraph 19. Let me read it to you. Jesus said, "I tell you, if two of you join your voices on earth to pray for anything whatsoever, it shall be granted to you by my Father in heaven." Well, Tony and I went in our back office. We got down on bended knee, and we prayed our hearts out for those two things, that we would get the money back from the guy that borrowed, and we would get the mortgage we needed. We didn't really hold out much hope, because it was only a week to go, and we've been trying for almost a year to do this. We went home. We celebrated the Christmas holidays with a heavy heart. We came back in between Christmas and New Year's. We figured nothing definitely was going to happen. Then, almost miraculously, on December 29th, 2 days before our deadline with the bank, we got a call from this other small bank that they were definitely giving us the mortgage loan. And the same day, we opened the mail, and we had a check from this guy giving the money back. So both things we prayed for which were very unlikely to happen, came through. And if that's not a miracle,
hallelujah.
I never saw one. Hallelujah is right. Praise be to God on that one. So,
but you know,
anyhow,
something,
miracles
Paul,
do happen, folks.
Yeah. Also, another little part of that is that when Tony came home and told me about that, and I asked him how he felt, he said, doesn't affect my life. Doesn't affect us. It's that's the way, you know, we
like
never had it before.
It.
You
we
mean
didn't
before
have it
the,
before.
Before this miracle happened?
Or before the miracle,
yeah.
But when we were talking about how much money was lost, we both felt the same way. Listen, this doesn't affect our life. We didn't have it before, and so we won't have it. We won't have it now.
Well, it
it's
wasn't even so much
Jesus
the money
wanted.
We lost. It was the fact they could have taken over our business. They could have forced us to sell our homes, you know.
But he believed. He just believed. He always believed in Jesus.
Well, that's what it takes.
He said,
belief.
Jesus is my friend. He'll help me.
Believe what you pray for, you'll get it, and you probably will get it.
You know what? I'd like to play two of the tapes, I think. They're very short, but they're just two little things, just to bring Tony and Paul into this conversation so you can hear a little bit from them. Play one and
great
two.
Great idea.
Tony.
He has arrived. Take him into your heart. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show. It's time for...
I'm sorry, I dozed off.
You forgot. Listen up. Jesus is on the air.
Oh, yeah. That's the name of the show.
You forgot
your line.
You took
so long, I fell asleep. I didn't know what was going on. Hey,
Mama.
Hey, you know what's good today? Trevor's awake. I see him. He's wide awake.
Hi,
in there.
Trevor.
Look at him.
And that was Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
My gosh, he gets awfully energetic. I'm tired. I'm an old man, and you get me all tired out with the screaming and yelling and everything else.
Well, it's time to scream.
Oh, wait a minute, Al's singing. Wait a minute. Al, here you go, Al.
Al, we love you. We really
all right, that's enough of Al.
That's Al.
And I want you to know it's not me that's interrupting.
That's Al Barbarino, who's singing our opening song. And how we love it. I love that song. I sing it in my sleep at night.
This is the 207th time that Al has sung this song.
I know. I've heard it 207 times.
Oh, wait, let's introduce our guest.
No. The guest has to wait.
Oh, my
there
God.
There is no rush.
This guy is...
There, now we stop.
Oh,
now
welcome.
Now
welcome.
Let's get some... Yeah, and we really should talk to the people about how this show gets put together. We don't meet beforehand, do we, Tony?
No,
we used to.
We used to at the beginning, but we stopped it a while ago.
And we just pray.
And we leave it up to the Holy Spirit, Jesus and Holy Spirit. It's his show, and we just do what he wants us to do.
And we do that. And I pick music out in prayer.
Yes.
And then you pick out the saint of the day. I never know who the saint of the
and
day
is. And I sometimes don't know until right before the show.
And also, at the end of each program, we try to bring in some prayer for healing. And we have had a number of people tell us that they really, truly enjoy what we do. And what we're after is evangelizing one soul. That's all we want.
One a week.
That's
it. For. One a week.
And we've had so many things that have been so interesting on the program. What have you learned, Tony? I'm going to ask you a question.
What have I learned?
Let me ask you this, Tony. How did you first come up? No, I want to.
Well, it's a good question. I'm going to ask you that question, too. But I have learned that people, listeners, our listeners, are so loyal, and that I believe... somehow or other, Jesus is allowing us to feed these people with the spirituality and the love that they're looking for. And he's shown us how to do this. I mean, like, hey, we were two stupid kids when we first started.
And now
we didn't know anything.
Two stupid
now
old men.
Two stupid old men. But he's, I think... I mean this from my heart. I think that Jesus knew there was a need to feed
his
people
sheep.
And to feed his sheep. And that not all his people and not all his sheep were being fed in certain different ways. And that this was just another way
to feed them and to evangelize.
And you'd be surprised, and I guess I'm going to talk about some of the things that people have told me. When we run the program and I hear from somebody, wow, that program was just what I needed to hear.
Yeah. I hear that. Oh, you know what? I hate to say this because I sound egotistical.
Well, but all right, but we're 4 years and we're
but I hear quite a while into it. Many times about our shows.
Yeah.
That it was exactly what I wanted to hear. You're really hitting the nose on the head on the with the hammer. You're really, you know, you're touching our lives. Oh, we listen to you every week. We don't want to miss you. These are the little things that I'm hearing.
And I hear again and again and again. You're not negative. You bring positive love of God to us. And that's what we want to do. We want people to understand God is alive and he dwells in them.
Yeah.
And it does, and to me it doesn't make any difference what religion you are. He touches you.
You know, John, you're absolutely right. There's one God. Now, you said a mouthful then when you says it doesn't matter what religion we are, because there's only one God, and we're all worshiping, and we're living the lives that God wants us to live in accordance with the scriptures.
Really,
that's our way of living by the scriptures, isn't
and
it?
And we're nourished by the true presence in the Eucharist, which is why I'm Catholic.
And that's our gift.
And when we put the shows together, how many times have we been surprised by the power of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, the Holy Spirit, I believe, truly guides the show. I really do.
Yeah.
And the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? For some reason, sometimes things happen the way they happen through the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, And how many times have you chosen a saint of the day, and it fit right into
and
the
it fit
program?
In. And I've, at the last minute, I was led to another saint, or the last moment I was led to another saint, and it just happened to fit right in.
And how many times too has the continuity of the program just flowed as if we had written a script? And we don't write anything.
You know, the truth of the, now listen, this is true confession here,
uh-oh,
listeners. The truth of the matter is we don't write anything. John picks a few songs out. I do research the saints.
Yeah.
And most of the times, the one I research heavily, I don't use. I use another saint from the last minute. And we just let the Holy Spirit guide us in our conversation.
And even the music, even though I know there are some listeners, Nick and George and others, who don't like the music, but it just flows into the continuity of the program. And I have no idea when I choose music for the day, I have no idea how the program's going to go. And I'm amazed constantly that it flows right out of the conversation. And the song fits. It really is amazing.
The songs usually fit very well. Just like the saints.
Yeah.
The saints usually fit very well. The songs usually fit very well.
And the readings from our anonymous contributor
fit very well.
Yeah.
And lead us to what's going on.
And so then when we sit down, and if we were to map out a program, remember the time we both were fighting over what should be on the program?
Yes, I remember that time. I want you to understand. That's the first and only time we had a little bit of a disagreement.
And we,
I want you to know that.
And Trevor,
Trevor's laughing.
we were disagreeing, and listeners, you know what happened on the show? Neither thing that either
neither
one
of
us wanted got on the radio show.
I just want to congratulate you.
Trevor, thank you.
I've worked here for about 14 years, and I never seen anybody that persistence and so concerned about their program like you two.
Thank you.
The snow could be out there, cold weather.
We come.
And, you know, you all have chemistry together, because people can't work together unless they have chemistry.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And
thank
the Bible says, can two walk together unless they agree?
Right.
They're going to be a disagreement, but it's still love. And I never seen you two diss each other on the radio. I see people do that a lot of times. I'm just glad for you two and coming here on Saturday. I look forward to seeing you guys. When I don't see you guys, I say, oh, they're not going to be here this Saturday.
And we look forward to seeing you.
You know, listening to that exchange, just remember, oh, I'm sorry. Something coming up?
No.
Will you do another
okay.
clip?
Oh. It's okay.
I was just reminding me, listening to them, it wasn't just the show they did and the subject matter they spoke about, but it was the intensity and the sincerity in their voices when they spoke.
That's right, yeah.
It was really inspiring, yeah. It really was, and the chemistry was unbelievable together.
They meant every word they said. Yeah. If we had to do two saints today, I would say, well, let's do Dr. Tony and Dr. John Palmer saints, because in my mind, they're up there. If they're not saints, they should be.
St. John and St. Anthony. That would be very good to go with.
They
are saints.
They have all the things that Carol said, before, and in my mind, they're saints.
And they are, and John was a mystic also. I remember when he said, when he brought the relics of St. Mary Margaret to the churches on Long Island, once he did that, his whole life changed, because what happened after that, he really, really was closer to heaven than he was to earth. He understood what it meant to know God, really did, and that really profoundly changed him, and Tony was right along with him. So the two of them had this charism that everybody's talking about.
Yeah, chemistry.
Yeah, and the chemistry is something, as Trevor said, the Holy Spirit was just guiding them all along, and everybody else, Joan and everybody, and they just really, really were holy, holy men.
And God brought them together for a special reason.
Yeah. I agree.
And there they are.
Yeah. Can't understand why he took them now.
Yeah.
But he did. I know that when Tony was sick, you know, there was nothing that could help him. There was one thing after another that was being done for him. But Jesus wanted him. And I feel the same way about John. They had 4 months each in the hospital, in the same hospital, within the same year. And, you know, I felt like I was always fighting for him. Always fighting. But then I realized that I wasn't fighting against the doctors. They knew. I didn't know. I was fighting against Jesus. And I had to just give up and say, I know you want him. And he took him.
Yeah.
Both of them.
It was just hard to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Joan, what I would like to add on that note, I mean, it's so typical and so classic of each and every one of us, especially, you know, like for many people who try to live their lives very, very close to God, and we inevitably say, like 9 out of 10 people say, you know, like I just don't understand why such a great person, such a good person, and we'll never ever understand that truly. And you know, with the many parish missions that I present, I always say to the people this, and believe what I tell you from my heart, when I speak, I try listening to what Al Barbarino was saying too.
Yeah.
And so we're great for giving advice, but we're never listening to ourselves, truly. And I always say to the people, if we do not believe in the resurrection, this entire life here on earth is completely meaningless. And that's precisely what and who we're all about. What did Jesus say? You know, the flesh is so insignificant. And we who are human, we're of the flesh. But everything is, all is about the Spirit. And it is the Spirit that lives life eternal. I mean, if those are any comforting words, I know, hey, listen, Jesus cried for Lazarus.
That's right.
So we all cry, of course. Of course you're going to cry for someone who leaves such a void in your heart, in your life. Mm-hmm. But that's what and who we're all about. Surrender, surrender, surrender.
It's so hard, though.
I realize that. Yeah. I know.
On a little lighter note, Frank just mentioned that we should have honored John and Anthony with, at that they're saints now. And again, I know Anthony better than I know John, but I don't know, a lot of you may be like me, we pray to St. Anthony when we're trying to find lost things, and just reminds me of something. Tony, in business, he loved detail, he loved getting into the nitty-gritty of everything. He studied every piece of paper that came into the business, he made multiple copies of everything. When he ran out of, and he filed them away, one in the office, one in his back office, he gave me copies, made extra copies just in case. When he ran out of filing space, he filled up briefcases. When he ran out of briefcases, he filled up shopping bags.
That's right.
Anything he can get his hands on, all over his two offices at work, and probably at home also, right,
yeah,
Tony?
Yes, if he got the chance.
Well, anyhow, when I needed something, I didn't save as much as he did. When I needed something I couldn't find, I always asked Tony if he had it. He invariably gave me the same answer, yes, but I have to dig it out. That could mean any time between an hour and a month. Tony, if you're listening, I'm sure you are. Now that you're saying Anthony up there, I expect to get a quicker answer on those things in the future.
He'll be digging it out in heaven.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's a classic.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Okay.
You know, I have one more clip that I'd like you to hear because we're talking about saints. So, number four.
Be a saint. What else is there? Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, where we are number one. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. Hey, you're a saint?
No, be
you're
a saint.
I don't understand. How can I be a saint? I'm still alive.
You could practice to be a saint, Palmer. This is where you become a saint, when you're alive.
Well, working with you, I'll be a saint very soon.
When you pass on, it's too late. Be a saint now. Oh, that's Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo.
Right, sure.
We're here to tell you we love Jesus.
I like the way you wrote the music, right? And I like some of the things you're saying, by the way, Palmer. And it makes a lot of, you know, you do make a lot of sense.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I hate to say that, Trevor. But
Trevor, it's the first time you ever told me it made sense. What am I going to do?
Trevor's falling off his chair. But I firmly believe that at the end, we're all going to be holding hands together.
I think so.
We're all going to be putting our arms around each other.
Yeah.
And we're all going to be hugging each other.
But stay away from me.
But you've never hugged me, and that someday maybe you will be hugging me.
Even at the end, they were talking like that, right?
Yes, even at the end, right? So,
Oh boy!
I don't know how much time we have.
Talk about charisma and what they had together was unbelievable.
Yes, it really
was. A beautiful show that they always put on,
and
absolutely.
They really had an absence. There was no fear in them.
No, not
so
a
that
thing.
Without the fear, the trust could build, and with the trust, then they show the light of Jesus.
Exactly. I mean, to come into a show like this without a piece of paper in front of you, except for the saint, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know what they had together.
Joan, before we say anything else, I just wanted to say this: what you and your daughter Anne Marie did, retrieve some of these clips from their shows. Was just a phenomenal idea because
terrific.
It really brought everything.
We just wanted to bring them into the show.
Grassroots. That's exactly what Tony would say.
Yeah,
and
grassroots.
It brings it right
down to
it.
Is it the hammer on the head or the nail or whatever?
The head on the nose. I'll dig it out. Oh, it was amazing. Oh, God, yes.
Yes.
Truly. Truly.
Yeah. By the way, I just got a text message from your oldest son, Michael. He said he's listening to the show in Jamaica.
In
we're
Jamaica,
doing a great
he's
job.
He's getting the show. I just got
I'm amazed. You're getting
it
there, right?
Yeah. Isn't that believable?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
You're ready to go home,
Michael?
Buddy. It's your last day.
Jamaica, Queens?
No.
A little further away.
Montego Bay.
Oh, God.
Mike, we're glad you approve of it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He's been having a good time.
I like to ask my brother, how do you think we did?
Very good, Frank. Very
good.
He's
probably saying you're not done yet, Frank.
No, not me yet.
No thunderbolts from heavens. I guess we're not doing too bad.
Yeah, you know, I hope we made you proud. I hope that
I'm sure we did.
You made us very proud, and your memory will live with us forever. And we pray that the memory of the show will touch many people after it's all over with, and that many people will come to Jesus and listen up to the words of Jesus.
Mm. That's right.
Praise God, God
That's
bless.
Right. This is what they would want. You know,
as you're saying that, I'm thinking to myself, we never know how God's going to use something, even though we think this might be an ending for this.
Maybe the beginning.
It
something.
Might be a beginning. Right. Years from now, who knows? We have knows. No idea yeah. how this is going to be used. And, you know, I do believe what Tony was saying on that last clip, that we will be together again, all of us.
All of us, that's
and
right.
If we peel away more of our flesh now, we probably can feel their presence more and more in our lives presently too.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
their memory will always be important, there. But sometimes you just know that they're there.
Yeah.
You just know that they're there, and they're over there encouraging, you know, the Holy Spirit encourages and supports and brings us to a different place in life. Because for all of us, we don't understand. Life can be scary at times, but we have to stay away from the fear like these two guys did. They did not let fear overcome. Like, what's going to happen? When will this happen? When will that happen? That's kind of how I knew John. I came to him because Living Waters, which is the center I found, was really having a hard time. I knew him before because I was part of Father Bob Aguirre's things, but I came to him because I said, I don't understand. The Lord wants me to do this, and yet it's really having a hard time. And John kept encouraging. And believe it or not, it's still going 16 years later. So who knows?
Who knows
what this life is about, other than we do the next best right thing that we think the Lord's calling us to. We discern, and, you know, fruits will bear from that. Like, it's amazing that this radio show became number one.
That's
Isn't
right.
that amazing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, who would think a radio show that's named, listen up, Jesus is on the air, becomes number one?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing.
And they were so proud of that, too.
They brought many, many, many listeners to it. Many listeners.
Yeah. To Jesus.
People that don't know me, but think I am my brother when they come over to me. They're saying, we enjoy your show, you know, but
Amen.
It's not me. It's my brother.
They reminded me of modern-day apostles. You know, the original 12 apostles roamed the earth spreading Jesus' message.
Right.
John and Tony used the airwaves to spread the message, and I think they picked up converts every day. I think they achieved their goal. They should be very proud of that.
They must be proud,
No timing.
The time? Okay.
How much time?
All right, I think we're almost at the end of the show here, and I'd just like to say that I have a song that I'd like to play, and, you know, John, I love you too, but I really have to dedicate this one to Tony. I just love him now, always and forever, and this song is for you, babe.
Say for certain, maybe you're still here. I feel you all around me, your memory so clear. Deep in the stillness, I can hear you speak. You're still an inspiration. Can it be that you are mine, forever loved, and you are watching over me from up above? Fly me up to where you are, beyond the distant star. I wish upon to gently sleeping here inside my dream? And isn't faith believing all power can't be seen? As my heart holds you just one beat away, I cherish all you gave me every day. 'Cause you are mine, forever love, watching me from up above. And I believe that angels breathe, and that love will live on and never leave. Fly me up to where you are, beyond the distance.
Everybody, for listening to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Eternal rest granted
thank you
to
for
them,
all
oh
helping
Lord.
Me. Yeah.
Let the perpetual light shine upon them.
May
they
rest
in
peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. May their souls and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
And John.
Amen.
John and Tony, thank you for 5 years of inspiration.
Twice.
I'll be listening to your CDs for years to come. Rest in peace.
Everyone has a friend in different stages of their life, but my brother was very lucky. He had Jesus as his friend through all the stages of his life.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
We were very fortunate to have both John and Tony as friends in our lives. John and Tony in our lives, they touched our lives, they touched our hearts, they touched our spirits. And we thank the Lord for them, and we ask that His Mother continue to place her mantle around us who are still on earth. And we need those prayers and that protection of Tony and John, our divine beings, and of course, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We know you're having a good time. Safest place for us.
And as Tony would say, we love you, listeners.
We'll be up to see you before you know, hopefully.
Yeah. Prepare that mansion for all of us.
Yes.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.